Blog Talk Radio.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. You can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh, Monday, we gon' walk it out. All day, and I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day, I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid, I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again.
And good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country, around the world. You've tuned in one more time to Grassroots Talks, hosting the show When Numb Is Not Enough. We're really delighted to have you here today, whether you're listening live or you are picking this up pre-recorded. Do know that it's much appreciated, and I hope that you get as much out of it as many of our other listeners and callers do. Show is being brought to you by Flashback Academy, where we help veterans and former foster care youth get off of the street into vocational training. And yes, the treatment needed to actually prepare to come off of the streets. That is not an easy undertaking. Some people think it's just hand them some keys and say, okay, everything's all right. No, there's some stuff that happened along the way that people have to readjust and create a different type of a lifestyle. And I'm sure our Dr. Clark will probably address that at some point, but we have something a little bit more pressing that I'm going to share with the audience, and but I'm not going to do it without welcoming our host, Dr. Tametra Clark, to the show once again. Good evening, Dr. Clark.
Good evening, Dr. Brown, and welcome everyone. Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you're joining us from. As Dr. Brown says, it's always a pleasure and an honor to be with you all, hopefully to share some information that can encourage someone along the way. And so we are back again tonight to continue our conversation under the umbrella of When Numb Is Not Enough, Grief and Loss, and how we can tackle some of these issues. I do understand, Dr. Brown, that we have a matter at hand that we want to address before we get into our topic tonight?
Yes. Folks, for those of you who want to be a part of our show, I'll just remind you, you can call in as a guest or you can write. If you call in, you're calling it, you're dialing 319-527-6090, or you can write at flashbksllc@gmail.com. And I'm sure at some point before we close out, Dr. Clark will give you information on how you can make connection with her. Dr. Clark, you know, I got an email earlier today, and the lady says, when my husband went to jail, my son seemed to change overnight. She went on to say that he began ditching school, talking back, wouldn't do his chores, grades dropping, and she's wondering, is this because the father's not in the home anymore, or is it because he's going into puberty? Is he experiencing grief and loss? And if you could share some kind of light on that. I'm taking notes on this one too, Dr. Clark. Go ahead.
Well, that's a very, that's actually a really good question. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful that she's able to have a mindset to look at it from various angles. Because sometimes we can allow ourselves to get caught into one thing and we see our children manifest a certain behavior and we jump right to this cookie cutter conclusion. But what's good about this question and what makes it so such a good learning tool or teaching tool or education moment is the fact that she's able to pinpoint when things started to shift. And that's important. Whenever we see these shifts in our children's behaviors, their demeanors, their way of being, how they show up, light bulbs should definitely go off. And we should always be looking at what happened prior to this and what's happening as a result of it. We call that the ABCs of behavior. So A is the antecedent of what's happening before the behavior happens. B is the behavior, and C is the consequence. And so what she's been able to do, she's noticed that when this significant event happened in the home, in the life of her son, his behaviors started to look different. How he showed up started to look different. And as a consequence of that, as a result of that, she's seen how his daily functioning has started to diminish. So it can be all of those. It can be the fact that dad is no longer in the home. It can be some separation stuff going on, definitely some loss going on. So we have multiple things that are happening at one time that are resulting in the behaviors that are being manifested from this child. So I would venture to say that there's definitely some grief and loss going on. And because he's not able to be able to verbalize what it's making him feel like, the best way he can do that is to show it through his behaviors. And so it's important for mom to be able to let him know that she recognizes what's going on. I don't know if there's ever been a conversation about dad not being in the home. I don't know if there was a preparation process prior to dad leaving the home. Was this something that we knew was going to happen? Was this something that, you know, they had preparing for, he had to turn himself in and then do the time? Or was it something, an event happened and then he was gone and snatched up? Those things matter. So how the loss occurred matters to the impact. And again, what also matters is the relationship that this young man had with his father, right? Because we talk about how the impact of grief is directly correlated to the relationship that you have with that lost object. And so one of two things, if there was a close-knit relationship with the father, then yes, he's having he could be having the impact of not having that close relationship with him anymore in the physical sense. If the relationship with dad was strained in the beginning, there could be some resentment going on that you weren't here, you know, even though you were here for me physically, you know, you weren't here when I needed you emotionally, and then dealing with the loss of that happening as well. And so there's this little mixed bag of things that could be going on with her son, so I would offer that she may want to have a conversation with someone about some of these issues because they're very relevant, and see if we can get him back on track and starting to move forward. But he's got to be in a position to where he's feeling safe enough to kind of have this conversation. And so it may mean that she needs to go outside and have it if she doesn't feel like he will be responsive enough to her. Dr. Brown.
I told you folks, take some notes. You know, you hit on a couple of things during the last part of your response in regards to what happened and how was that relationship prior to? Did he turn himself in? Did it happen abruptly? And those are definitely some interesting considerations. You mentioned that this is not a cookie-cutter response because there are a number of items that have to be weighed. So I guess the question is, without taking up too much of what your primary topic will be about, is what this young man will go through to disconnect or to stay connected. Example, if he's still a teen, which sounds like he is, he's not going to possibly be able to do visitations. And so therefore there's a distance. He'll only be able to talk on the phone, maybe write a letter and hope that the guards will get it to him. So we are definitely going to be praying for this young man, but is there anything that the parent can do in the meantime to help this young man adapt to this sincere, serious change of what's happening with him and his father?
Well, I would invite mom to offer a conversation with him. I don't know what kind of relationship he has with mom, so that's going to be a key factor as well. What kind of relationship did they have when the family unit was a unit? Does he have some resentment towards mom for not being able to keep dad in the home? There's so many things here, but there does need to be a conversation with mom, because I'm sure that mom is feeling the impact of this loss too. Because if dad was a contributing piece of the puzzle of the home relative to finances and keeping things going, and now she's having to do all those things by herself, there is some stress and there is some tension on her part as well. And so maybe if having a conversation with the son, say, hey, you're not in this by yourself. I'm feeling this, I'm feeling some kind of way about this whole situation also. And so what can we do together? How can we now work together as a team to get ourselves over this hump? I'm willing to put in the time if you're willing to put in the time, right? And so letting him know he's not by himself. And, again, creating that space for him to say, okay, I'm not the only one feeling this here. My mom is feeling this too. So maybe we can team up and try to get ourselves through this together, because now things are different, right? They have to now reestablish themselves in the midst of this primary object that has now been removed. So they have to relabel some things in their lives. And so why not go through that labeling process together? So I would just encourage her to try to start that dialogue with him.
Okay, and then mom, if you are listening either now or on the recorded show, I do suggest that you give Dr. Clark a call. As you folks are listening, some of us have friends who have well intentions. And I think Dr. Clark has covered this. Our friends have opinions of what they think that you need to do. However, I do caution you, at some point, it is not a bad idea to seek professional assistance. If any of you have ever taken the time to look at Dr. Clark's resume or biography, you'll have a better idea of her qualifications. If you notice one thing that happens, 75% of the time, she has no idea what I'm going to be throwing at her. But when you are trained and skilled, you have not only the ability to listen, but to be able to stir the pot around and come up with some sense of direction that one needs to go in to assist someone. So I do challenge you folks, go ahead and give Dr. Clark a call. She has been more than an asset, not only to me, my organization, friends, but I've seen the results of her work. Dr. Clark, I'm going to encourage that you continue to keep it up. Looks like the line is moving forward. I don't know if the folks want to talk or if we're going to have time since we ate up so much, but listeners who have just chimed in, glad to see you here, and we're going to continue on with the show. Thank you. Dr. Clark?
Not a problem. Thank you so much for those kind words, Dr. Brown. Some of my contact information, if you all want to have a further conversation with me afterwards, because know that that's what we're doing. We're having a conversation. We're not establishing any type of professional relationship at all during our time together on the line. If you want to go further with me then and have a conversation offline, then that is perfectly, I welcome that. That's perfectly okay. You can contact me at info@rotm.la. Shoot me an email there. Or you can give me a call at 818-646-6608. And I will be more than happy to have another conversation with you and see how we might be able to get some mentoring and get some coaching and get some goal setting in place to get you to the next step that you may feel that you're a little challenged and having some significant issues getting to where you want to be. On Saturday, as we were celebrating with our vets out there at the Memorial Day celebration, I started talking about a little more in depth about what Renewing of the Mind Wellness Coaching Consulting and Supportive Services was. And I started talking about the 8 dimensions of wellness and the connection that those areas of wellness has when it comes to the impact of grief and loss. And so things were kind of loud out there and things were kind of moving. And so I have not had a chance to go back and listen to that particular broadcast yet. However, I thought that for the next few meetings, as we can, to start talking about the impact on each of these dimensions of wellness. And so when we talk about our dimensions of wellness, we are talking about our physical, our social, our emotional, our environmental, our financial, our existential, our intellectual. We're looking at all these areas of our lives because this is where we try to create our balance, right? And so when something such as grief and loss, something as traumatic as that hits in our lives, it starts to have its that trickle-down effect, right? That one event, but there's layers to it. And it starts to trickle down. And when we let's look at really defining what wellness is. So if we look at wellness, it's defined as the state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity, right? And so that's kind of how the World Health Organization has defined it, and Shamsa defines it even better on a larger scale. But just knowing that it's a total state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, right? So if we know that that's what it is, then we definitely know that there's going to be some cracks created when we have such a traumatic event such as grief and loss come onto the scene and show itself, right, and present itself in these areas. And so I thought that we would start with physical because that's just one area of wellness that we all know so well. We're all familiar with that, right? And so when we're looking at our physical wellness, we're looking at our ability to recognize the need for physical activity, for healthy foods, and for sleep. And so when you look at that, you would say, well, okay, so now what? How does that have anything to do with grief and loss? So what happens is when we experience grief and loss, and if it's not addressed, we start to have these physical manifestations that happen in our body. And a lot of times we don't even realize that we can be having these symptoms because because of that experience of grief and loss, because the way that our bodies respond seems to be normal and can be connected to other things as well going on in our lives. So some of the physical things that we might experience is by way of fatigue and loss of energy, having headaches, body aches, nausea, vomiting, digestive issues, having weight loss, having some weight gain, overeating, undereating, having sleep disturbances. And when we hear just that cluster of physical ailments or manifestations that can happen, what else kind of comes to mind? Sometimes you might think of depression, right? Because those are some symptoms or some of the characteristics that we hear about in depression as well. And we know that in grief and loss that there is a type of depression that we go through, right? So we want to be mindful of these things. Then we can take it further. We may experience some shortness of breath, some chest pain. Sounds kind of like anxiety, right? Dry mouth, being dehydrated, a weakened immune system. And with this weakened immune system comes more inflammation of our joints and our muscles, right? And so sometimes we might just have the tendency to overlook that and say, oh, you know, I worked out too hard, or I overused this muscle, or I may have strained it doing something. But again, we want to be aware that if we've had significant loss that has occurred in our lives and we have not really addressed it, then our body starts to manifest some of these things. Even brain fog and memory loss can be a physical manifestation from grief and loss. And then if you want to take it further, you can experience such things as like hair loss. You can have heartburn. You can have blood clots. You can get increased blood pressure. You can have low blood sugar. You know, some people have fainting spells. So it's a serious thing when our bodies become so overwhelmed with trying to make some sense out of this grief and this loss that has occurred in our lives. Remember early on when we started talking, I started talking about the various loss that we experienced, and there were two that I mentioned, the inhibited grief, which is that grief that we don't always express. We're not showing any obvious or outward forms of that grief. But what happens as a result is that our physical reactions start to manifest themselves, and also that happens in that mass grief, the grief that presents as physical symptoms or behaviors, and it starts to impact our ability to function on a day-to-day basis. And so this is an important area of wellness that we want to make sure that we are keeping in balance as we go through our process of grief and loss. So we want to make sure that we're giving ourselves some time, right? I talk about giving ourselves permission. That's important. We want to give ourselves permission for that, right? And so in the interest of time, I'm looking at the timer, so we will have to continue next week. But just some things that we can do on the physical when we are looking at trying to heal and mend our physical area of wellness, we want to look at mindfulness and really concentrating on our breath and kind of being present and just kind of clearing our heads. And again, we want to make sure that we are eating enough and that we're eating enough of the right things. Sometimes we eat to comfort ourselves, right? And the things that we usually resort to eating when we're trying to comfort ourselves are usually not the best things, right? We may want to find some time to exercise. Get outside, breathe in the air, even if it's for 5 minutes. We start slow. The other thing that hangs us up that creates some challenges for us as we're trying to heal is that we're trying to do it in unmanageable pieces. So we have to allow our healing to happen in doses, and we have to do it in bite-sized pieces, just enough for us to bite on, to nibble on, so that we can digest it properly so that it doesn't have the chance to come back up again, right? So we want to make sure that we're chewing on it well enough to get it down so it can get into our systems and it can go to work doing what it needs to do. We don't want to try to take it in too fast to where we gag on it and we find ourselves bringing it back up because now we have to start that process all over again. And even in the physical, when we're looking at physical wellness, we may even want to try to socialize more. We know that we have a tendency to isolate during this time, but try socializing a little more. It may be only one or two people you reach out to. You're not going to try to build this whole buddy list. And try something new, those hobbies. Remember we were saying the goal is to create a system or find something whereby you can live again, right, so that you can live through this hurt and this pain. We talked about the post-traumatic growth. That's where some of this comes in. Looking at the new possibilities that can come from this, do we need to seek help with the support group, right? And by all means, we want to avoid those unhealthy coping mechanisms, right? We want to avoid things that we have a tendency to use that are just going to cause us to be numb, right? Dr. Brown, there's been a lot said in just a few minutes of time. Any feedback, anything you want to add to that?
No, once again, I think that you've done a marvelous job. I do want to take advantage of the time that we have left to remind folks to get a buddy. But your buddy also sometimes might need to be open-minded as well, to just stand with you. I think Dr. Clark had mentioned in one of our other segments, you don't always have to say anything. Just be there. Oh, and a shout-out to we have – our Chicago, I'm going to call them more loyal listeners because I see the number pop up and I identify the area code, Texas. And our old friend in North Carolina is there as well. Thank you, folks, for joining in. And it looks like the Bay Area, okay, has made it. This is really cool. But I am going to challenge everybody who's listening, share this opportunity with at least one person that you care about. I didn't say they had to be your friend either, okay? But that you care about, because here's what we don't know. We don't know what other people are going through. And especially during the times that we've all just got through passing through with this pandemic stuff and then trying to get back on our feet and noticing that are taking a whole lot of money out of us in different ways to try to make up for it. So just tell a friend, because you don't know what they might be going through. I'm going to end this with the song. And for those of you who also joined us Saturday for the salute to our veterans and the families, we want to thank all of you folks. It was tremendous and very, very emotional for all of us. God bless America and God bless all of you wonderful people who take time to listen. Do share again with a friend. Thanks, Dr. Clark.
No problem.
The silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to a dream.